Well, it's that time of the year, and maybe you've been scrambling to find the perfect card or the cheesy tie or whatever it might be for your dad. We're going to be talking today about fathers. We find one verse here in Proverbs 17, and referring to verse 6. It says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Notice, the glory of children are their fathers. I'd like to share with you today some encouraging proverbs for dads. Some encouraging proverbs for dads.
The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Welcome to Pulpit Power, featuring Pastor Tony Skeving, Senior Pastor of Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. Today's message was previously preached before a church audience. And now, here's Pastor Skeving.
Let's take our Bibles. Please turn back to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, where we're going to be for the entire day here today, as we talk about dads. Dads. We find in the Proverbs some profound and penetrating truths about fatherhood. I think mentioned over, 25 times, all positive, believe it or not. I read something this last week that was written by a famous general from World War II, Douglas MacArthur, a dad himself. He wrote this, "Build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. Build me a son whose wishbone will not be where his backbone should be. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease and comfort, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here, let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here, let him learn compassion for those who fail. Build me a son whose heart will be clean, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, one who will learn to laugh, yet never forget how to weep, one who will reach into the future, yet never forget the past. Add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor so that he may always be serious, yet never take himself too seriously. Give him humility so that he may always remember the simplicity of greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, the meekness of true strength. And then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain." Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That is excellent. Well, it's that time of the year, and maybe you've been scrambling to find the perfect card or the cheesy tie or whatever it might be for your dad. We're going to be talking today about fathers. We find one verse here in Proverbs 17, and referring to verse 6. It says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Notice, the glory of children are their fathers. I'd like to share with you today some encouraging proverbs for dads. Some encouraging proverbs for dads. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we come before Thee this morning. We ask You to help us as dads, as grandpas, as great-grandpas here today, to be what we ought to be for the next generation. We pray that You'd bless and strengthen our homes and our families. And Father, as we lift up Christ, may He draw all unto Him. For we pray now and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Proverbs 17 and in verse number 6, the Bible says, "Children's children are the crown of old men." Now we're talking about grandkids, aren't we? But notice it goes on and it says, "And the glory of children are their fathers." What's that word glory mean? I looked it up in the Hebrew, and it actually speaks of to take pride in, or to be proud of, or to brag about. It's talking about the glory, the bragging rights of children are their dads. They take pride in them. They honor them. They want to be like them. And really, the glory lingers long after dad is gone. In fact, dad leaves a lasting legacy behind. He sets an imprint in that child. He seals another life, and that child is never the same. Dads are the heroes of kids. My dad was my hero. I'll never forget as a kid getting this little green pedal car I think it was from the 40s somewhere. We didn't get anything brand new back in those days, and it was handed down from my three older brothers. But by the time it came to me, I'll never forget pedaling that little green car up and down the driveway and up and down the sidewalk as fast as I could, because I felt like Dad. Dad drove a car, and I got to drive a car and be like Dad. I'll never forget, as little kids, my dad owned a dry cleaners, Brownie Cleaners. And in the morning when we were getting ready for school, it would come on the radio, an advertisement on KRAD radio in East Grand Forks about Brownie Cleaners. And the little song would come on, and had it memorized. You can still quote every word of it to this day. And I thought, my dad's business is on the radio. That was so exciting to me. KRAD radio talking about Brownie Cleaners. I'll never forget the nights when my dad would do the dry cleaning route, and he would drop off clothes, and he would take us kids with him, and he took turns bringing us along. And I'll never forget when it was my turn, sitting in that seat next to my dad and delivering those dry cleaners, and afterwards going back to the shop and sitting down, and he would give me a bottle of 7-Up, and I would sit there, and I was just in hog heaven with my hero, my dad. My dad taught me how to work, too. In fact, he owned apartments, and we would mow them in the summers. We would shovel them in the wintertime. We would work on them on Saturdays and after school. Dad always had jobs lined up for us for after school. He had a mobile home court later on. He was a daring businessman. And we would work for him in the summers. I'll never forget making 25 cents an hour. My dad didn't pay real well. Still a little bitter about that, as you can tell. But we knew how to work. And we knew how to have fun. We took trips. We went to the Dells in Wisconsin. We went to the Black Hills in South Dakota. And then in the winters, we would snowmobile throughout the winter. And we would load up actually 6 snowmobiles every Friday night. And we would take them out to the lake, and we'd unload them. We had a bunch of kids. And we would just have fun all weekend out there at the lake. A lot of fun growing up, and a lot of memories growing up. And a lot of trying times, I'm sure, for Dad. One time, my sister was driving a snowmobile, and she drove it into the side of the garage and put a hole in it. And Dad would say this often. He would say, you know, I think I'm going to go join the French Foreign Legion. I must have heard that hundreds of times when I was a kid. What do dads do? Well, somebody said, a dad is a mender of toys, a leader of boys. He's a changer of fuses, a healer of bruises. He's a mover of couches, a soother of ouches. He's a pounder of nails, a teller of tales. He's a dryer of dishes, a fulfiller of wishes. Bless him, O Lord. Dads do lots of things. Dads bring up the car on days like this when it's raining out. And dads take the family picture. That's why he's quite often not in it. Dads carve the turkey at Thanksgiving, and dads open the jars that are hard to open, right, guys? Dads throw the toddlers in the air until they're nearly exhausted from laughter. Dads are the ones who come to dig you out of the snowbank at midnight when you've gotten stuck. Dads are family policemen. At least they should be. And they have to make unpopular decisions. Dads understand stress, and dads understand a fatherhood and hanging in there and stick it out without bailing out. And the Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, but a faithful man, who can find? A faithful man. Now, the Proverbs are pithy, and they're practical, and they're full of great truths. And in chapter 17 and in verse 6, it tells us that children's children are the crown of old men. I'm about to graduate up to that level. Children's children. I can't wait. It says, and the glory of children are their fathers. The ones they honor, they respect, they are proud of, their heroes, the glory of children are their fathers. So what do dads do? Well, first of all, dad is to make income. Dad is to provide or to meet needs. We're going to stay in the Proverbs. Just turn back to chapter 13, if you would. You know, we find way back in Genesis, I think it's chapter 3, the pronouncement of God upon men is given that they are to earn their bread by the sweat of their face. They are to work for a living. Primarily, Dad, you're to be the breadwinner here. And you say, well, that was part of the curse. But really, Adam was put in the garden to dress it and work it before the fall of mankind. Work's a blessing. And men are to work. They are to make income. And we find in Proverbs 13, the Bible says in verse 11, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Labor is a good thing. Work's a good thing. Labor is an honorable thing. We find some hard workers in the Bible. Speaking of Genesis, I've often read where Jacob there was trying to support his family. And he talks about the work that he did for over 20 years. In Genesis 31:40, he said, in the day the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, notice, and my sleep departed from mine eyes. There he was working through drought and cold and losing sleep. It really sums up what it takes to be a dad in this day and age. You know, there are some men, they kind of have an aversion to work. They think that manual labor is the president of Mexico or something, right? But work is a biblical thing. It really is. In fact, look in chapter 19, if you would. The man is to provide. That's as it should be. He should make for provision. He's to make the income for the home. In Proverbs 19, the beginning of verse 14 says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. Now, here's symbols of provision, tangible things, material things. And it tells us here that house and riches are the inheritance of fathers. It is your responsibility, Dad, to provide that roof, that shelter for your family. You know, I've got to say this. As a kid growing up, I never wondered if we were going to be out in the cold. I never wondered if we were going to be out in the rain, if we were going to be out in the wind. I never wondered, I never worried if there was going to be food in the cupboard and food in the refrigerator. In fact, there was always food at the Skeving house. There was 11 mouths to feed. We used to buy potatoes in 100-pound sacks, go to the warehouses and get 100 pounds of spuds, and they didn't last very long either. And then we got our canned goods at this place called D&B. We always laughed and thought it stood for dented and broken. The cans are always dented. And it wasn't because we were poor, but Dad was frugal. And Dad's, now it's our turn. We are to make income for our families. We read this in Ecclesiastes 9:10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. It's saying what you do, you're going to have to do now. It's crunch time. It's time to work. If you're a dad here and you have kids at home, you have to be that faithful provider now. And you need to keep that roof over their head, and you need to make that income. There is a principle taught all over the Bible, even in the New Testament, about this. Paul mentioned it in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 14. It says, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents. Kids love that part. But the parents for the children. Kids ought not lay up for the parents, but the parents, and this is the way our Creator designed it, are to lay up for the children, or to take care of the children. And that expression, lay up there, it means to gather together. It means to lay up. It means to put it together. That's going to require work. That's going to require saving and providing and wise stewardship and handling money properly, and something called, or at least spelled, responsibility. Being responsible dads, providing that food and providing that clothing and providing that shelter and providing that education. Years ago, we had a track. We called it the Green Tract or the Green Brochure. We haven't used this thing for probably 20 years. There's a picture in here, and you can't see it, but I'm shaking hands with this little guy about this side, a size. I'm leaning over to shake hands with him. I hadn't seen him in years until last weekend. He was back in town. He's been through college. He's been through the military. He's married, and he has this little darling 3-month-old baby girl. I got to hold her a couple of times. And I thought to myself, I remember when his dad was providing for him. And now it's his turn to provide for his kids. And one generation hands it off to the other. And I wonder when is the last time we have thanked our dads for working so hard as they did, for providing for our needs as they did, and going through those headaches and going through those heartaches. My dad was prudent, I guess would be the word, but very, very generous. And we didn't splurge often, but every so often we did. I'll never forget when one of the elder siblings graduated from high school, we got to drink all the pop we wanted. And boy, that was a big deal. We could really drink one can after another. And then I'll never forget how every year, one time during the summer, Dad splurged and he took us out to this nice restaurant. And I'll never forget those times. With 11 mouths to feed, you didn't go out to eat every week the way we do these days. But those were wonderful times and those were wonderful memories. And so, Dad, number one, you're to make income. Secondly, a dad is to mentor instruction. He is to teach. Look in Proverbs chapter 1, if you would. We find here some encouraging proverbs for dads. And dad is to be a teacher. Dad is to be an instructor. Dad is to be a marvelous mentor to his children. Notice here in Proverbs 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple," notice, "to the young man, knowledge and discretion." Now, Solomon tells us why he's writing the book here. It's to wise up somebody. Who is it? Well, notice in verse number 8, he says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." Solomon was a mentor. You read on in verse number 10, Proverbs 1 and verse 10. He says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." He's teaching them something here. Look in chapter 2, if you would. In Proverbs 2 and in verse 1, he says, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and imply thine heart to understanding," he goes on, he says, "if you'll do that, I'll be a happy man." In chapter 3, he says in verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Skip down to verse 21. "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion." I think we get the point here, don't we? We find here the father mentoring the son. There's that mentoring of instruction. And, you know, I think the average kid really doesn't realize how blessed they are to have a dad who's willing to instruct them. A dad who's been around the block. A dad who has two times or three times as much experience at life as they do, has learned some things, and can impart that knowledge and that wisdom unto them now. It's funny how that works. In fact, I saw this here this last week. At 4 years of age, the kid says, "My daddy knows everything." At 8 years of age, "My dad is really smart." At 12 years, "My dad probably doesn't know that." At 16 years of age, "My dad is absolutely clueless." At 21, "My dad is pretty out of touch." By age 30, he says, "I'd like to find out what dad thinks." At age 40, "Let's get dad's opinion before we make a decision." At age 50, "I wish I could ask my dad about that. He's pretty wise." At 60 years of age, "My dad knew absolutely everything." At 70 years of age, we say, "I'd give anything if dad were here. I really miss him." Isn't that the truth? You know, I had one of my grown kids here a while back say, "Dad, you've learned a lot over the past year or two." It's funny how that works. As we grow up, we realize what we had. Look in chapter 4 of Proverbs here. In verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Kids, you'd be wise if you listened up. In Proverbs 6 and in verse 20, Solomon says, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." Here we find, again, the instruction of a dad to a son on relationships, on intimacy, things along those lines. And we find out that the instruction of a dad lives on. It really lives forever. You know, I'm in my mid-50s, and there are things that my dad taught me I still haven't forgotten. My dad taught me to let the car warm up before you take off and head down the highway on a cold day. I'll never forget the instruction of how pistons work in cylinder walls and how the oil needs to warm up in order to lubricate them and the whole reasoning behind that. I've never forgotten that. My dad taught me not to brake over railroad tracks. He said everything's tight at that point, and if you're braking, you're hitting those bumps, it's going to jar everything loose. I still practice that. I still remember that. I still change my oil regularly because Dad taught me how to do that. I also was taught by Dad that you don't jackrabbit start. You don't come to a fast stop. I'm always the last guy wheeling into a stop. I'm always the last guy taking off from a stoplight. Why? Because why waste gas? That's dumb, isn't it? And my dad taught me that. I'll never forget that. It's also hard on a car. My dad taught me what a good deal was, and I'll never forget that. In fact, I used to drag him to look at old pickup trucks with me. He'd come home tired from work, and I was always buying and fixing up these old trucks, selling them, painting them, that kind of thing. And Dad always knew if it was a good deal or not. Somehow he knew. Dad knew how to work. Dad knew how to save. Dad knew how to be thrifty. I've never forgotten those things. In fact, I've tried to pass them on to my kids. My youngest daughter here this last week worked several days of babysitting and, I mean, made some money, serious money. She worked from like 7 in the morning to like 7:30 or 8 at night every day. And she got done, she got paid. And I said, well, what are you going to do with the money? She said, I'm going to pay for junior camp, or no, teen camp with it. She said, I'm going to pay for teen camp. And I thought, what a blessing. She didn't even hit me up for it. You know, she has saved more money than the average adults probably sitting here. And she's investing money already. It's an amazing thing to watch here, only 14. But it's great when a dad instructs. When a dad instructs about the right friends, the right music, the right moral standards. When a dad instructs about doing chores and being responsible and trusting God. Trusting God in life. When dads teach acts of courtesy and being appropriate and how to apply yourself academically and come home from work and ask them about their schoolwork, and what they're doing is they're steering that child through life when a child really needs that, especially teenagers. You talk about landmines out there for kids. Our young people are facing peer pressure like never before, and it's incredible. And they need that guidance. Because they're always concerned about what others are going to think. We find in Proverbs 29:25 that the fear of man bringeth a snare. Our children need to be taught that they don't have to blend in with everybody. They don't have to run with the pack. They don't have to run with the clan. They don't have to run with the herd. They don't have to be like the world. They need some steel in their backbone and they need to take a stand. Because the herd is going in the wrong direction. That's why Christ in Matthew 7 said the road to hell is broad and wide, and many are on it. You don't have to be insecure, young person. You don't have to worry about what the pack is doing. In fact, we find the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world is not of the Father. The world is pathetic. It's pitiful. By the way, I make a point, and my kids will tell you this. Every opportunity I get, I knock it in the head. I don't want them learning about life on the street. Because the world is a vulgar classroom. And better would it be if they learned it from us dads and moms. Point out how pitiful the world really is at a time when kids are impressionable. And they are gullible. And they are going, ooh, ah, and drawn to the world like a moth to a flame. Or like steel to a magnet. Point out that stuff. Spell it out for them. How important that is. The instruction of a dad. We read in Ephesians 6:4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Dads, this is a command to us. We are to bring up our children by this book. By God's standards, our Creator's standards, not the world's. The world is clueless, it really is. But we are to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You say, well, they don't like it. They don't like it forced upon them. They don't want us talking about it. They don't want us upholding it. Well, I know, and that can happen. But again, they're at an age where they don't know that they don't know. And I would rather obey God and do this than basically cave in and say, all right, Junioretta, whatever you want, I'm fine with that. You know, teach them. The word nurture means pahagia. And it means to teach him even through discipline. It means to actually tutor them through punishment. My dad did some of that too as well. You have to do that. The word admonish there, it means through warning and through mild rebukes. But what you're doing is you're building principles in them. And you're building character in them. And you're giving them these repeated lessons. Repetition is a must. And consistency is a must. And so as we get opportunities, we should be instructing them. We read this in Deuteronomy 6:7. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. These are marvelous, magnificent occasions and opportunities to be teaching our kids as we're driving along, or as we're tucking them into bed, or as we're sitting around the dining room table here. What we're doing is we're leaving an impression in wet cement that will stay there forever. How important that is. The goal is wise and discerning sons and daughters. There needs to be that mentoring. So dad, you're to make income. You are to mentor instruction. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs 15. There's a third thing, dad, that you're to do. I call it maintain incorruption. Maintain incorruption. In Proverbs 15 and in verse number 20, it says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. We are to teach them morality, if you will, how to maintain incorruption, how to stay on the old paths, how to maintain a moral standard, if you will. We live in an ever-changing world, don't we? The second law of thermodynamics says anything left to itself tends to greater randomness and confusion. Simply put, anything left to itself is going to go downhill. It's going to get worse. Morals are getting worse. Do we recognize that in our society? Somebody said if God doesn't judge America, he's going to owe Sodom and Gomorrah an apology. We have come to that. It's wretched. And how far is it going to go? You say, well, you know, we need to change with the times. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. God hasn't shifted. God hasn't moved. In fact, look in chapter 22 of Proverbs. May I show you a principle from the Proverbs that really is applicable to homes, to families, to dads, yea. Notice here in Proverbs 22 and in verse 28, the Bible says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Now, we put fences up today and we drive pins and surveyors come out and they mark property lines and we put up walls or hedges or whatever. But back in biblical times, all they did to mark a boundary between families, yea, even between tribes, was they took big field rocks. And there were plenty of them around. And they would set them on the corners. And you knew that you owned up to that rock. And then your neighbor owned from that rock over. We find verse 28 telling us here to remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers hath set. In fact, before the people of God, the Jewish people, were given the promised land, before they came in to Palestine as we know it today, we find that Moses said in Deuteronomy 19:14, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Notice, we find here God saying, don't move the boundaries. Now, how do we apply this to our families? Well, let me just say this. My mom and dad were old-fashioned. And I'm glad they were. You know, in our home, sex before marriage was wrong. That was taught. And in our home, going to church was assumed. It's just something we did. In our home, we were taught that cigarettes were a dumb habit. And, you know, my dad, actually, when the Surgeon General stuff came out, he quit. I believe he wanted to set a good example to his kids, and he did. None of us ever smoked. In our home, we were taught that drugs were taboo. And foolish. We were taught that hard work was in vogue. And by the way, we were taught that you don't make fun of those who are mentally challenged or deformed. We were taught to have more of a tender heart than that. The neighbor kids did it. The school kids did it. But in our home, we didn't do that. I think that healthy boundaries are a good thing. And we had them in our home. They were fair. They were consistent. And I'm glad they were in place. They were for our own good. I think my folks were probably considered more strict than other kids that I ran with, but they had our heart. They definitely had our heart. I remember in my mid-teens, painting old trucks and selling them, that kind of thing. While the other kids were going up to the north end of town, I don't know, that's where always the partying was. They would go up to the north end of town after robbing somebody's liquor cabinet, and I wouldn't go with them. I preferred to just stay home and work on the trucks. I had security in our home. I really did. There was a curfew, by the way. I'm glad for that. There were boundaries, and Dad was boss, and Mom would let us know. Go ask the boss. I heard that many times. We didn't dishonor the boss. We still don't dishonor the boss. I hope you honor your dad. You say, well, Pastor, times are changing now. I know. I got eyes. And it's heartbreaking. It really is. And yet, we read that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And what God said has not changed. We live in a day and age where the lines have been blurred, have they not? They've been skewed. We've gone a long ways from Robert Young and Father's Knows Best and Ward Cleaver to Homer Simpson and Desperate Housewives and other raw sewage that pours out of the boob tube like a busted sewer pipe. It's the day and age in which we live in, isn't it? Times have changed nonetheless, and the boundaries keep moving, and sadly, they have been blurred. If you read the form like I did earlier today, you found out that they're talking about now. You can read the article about how now we need to redefine Father's Day and tolerance and all that kind of thing because that differentiation has been changed now, and you got women marrying women, and how are they going to celebrate it? It's incredible. It really is. That's another thing my dad taught me. Men marry women. What a novel thought. And women marry men. And it was never God's intention for two women to marry and raise children together. Because there's something that you can only get from a dad if you are a son or if you are a daughter. Perhaps the biggest demise, I think, in this country right now is dads who are able and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And they have basically shoved over and they have failed to maintain in corruption. We've lost our morals. We've lost our virtuous bearings, if you will. We've lost our righteous boundaries. We have no anchor anymore. No moorings. No stability. A morally disciplined child grows up to be a morally disciplined adult. Plain and simple. To learn the boundaries of purity. To control the remote. And the red box, and the internet, and the computer, and to restrain from the opposite sex until those vows are exchanged and those rings are exchanged, and they're married. Maintaining boundaries, I think, is one of the most important things a man can do, a dad can do. And we find again in Proverbs 22. By the way, kids. This was really written to you. Verse 28 says, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. Kids, if you want to keep moving the boundaries, you're cutting your own throat. You really are. You're erasing that stability that you're going to need when you're an adult and when it's time to raise your kids and grandkids, and you're making the world really a worse place because you're moving the boundaries. It pains me, really it does, to think of the world my grandson's going to be growing up in. And I try not to even think about it. If you are part of the younger generation, you need foresight. You need to be able to see down the road a bit. You need to see the big picture. And you need to realize how foolish it is to undermine the foundation, the old paths, the boundaries that have been set for you. God help you in that area. Let me just give you a little secret. If you're a young person, here's all your folks want. Here's all they really want from you. We find in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The greatest joy a child can give a parent is just to walk in truth. Stories told of an elderly man. He was a preacher. He was dying on his deathbed, and all the kids hadn't arrived yet from out of town, but his daughter who lived in town was there. And as he was struggling to take another breath there on that hospital bed, his daughter looked at him and said, "Oh, what a blessing it is to have had a godly father." And he said, "Oh, no. What a blessing it is to have had godly children." John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And dad, give your children some boundaries. Give them some guidelines. Still have fun. Keep it warm. But there's an enormous sense of security, I think, in a home when there's boundaries there. Did your dad provide boundaries? Mine did. It was a blessing to me. Tremendous blessing to me. What is a dad to do? Well, dad is to make income. Dad is to mentor instruction. Dad is to maintain incorruption. And finally, dad is to model integrity. Dad is to model, be an example, a specimen of integrity. Look, if you would, in chapter 20 here. Dads, we are leaving a thumbprint on our kids with our walk. And our walk is going to talk louder than our talk, right? And the way we walk, good or bad, is going to leave an impression upon our kids. In Proverbs 20 and in verse number 7, it says, "A just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." Notice he's to model integrity. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. What kind of a thumbprint are we leaving on our children? Are we modeling integrity before them? I've told the story of that dad who had two boys, and the boys came home with a stray black dog. And they said, "Oh, Dad, can we keep it?" He said, "Well, as long as nobody comes looking for it, we can." Well, word got around that that black dog was at that house down at the street there, and that this woman was coming to pick it up. And there was a mark on that dog's tail. I've told you this before. Three white hairs, all black fur. And that woman was coming to get her dog and knew it would be her dog if he had those three white hairs on his tail. And before she got there, the dad took a scissors in front of the boys and cut those three white hairs off. And the woman showed up. The dog licked her hand and got all excited around her. And she just knew that was her dog, but those three hairs weren't there. And so she had to leave without the dog. Well, they kept the dog. The dad lost the boys. He wasn't modeling integrity before the boys. Do we model integrity in our homes? Do we lift up Christ? Do we get behind the leadership in the church? Do we speak well of the church? I heard of a little girl who said to the new pastor, "When I get older, I'm gonna give you some money." He said, "Well, why?" She said, "Because my dad says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had here." How do we speak of church? How do we speak of the spiritual leadership? Dads, we're carving our initials into the family tree. One day at a time. We're leaving a deep impression. My dad did that on me. And he carved love. He carved compassion, reassurance. We had fun. We were taught to be appropriate. We were given wisdom. We were given convictions. We have them to this day. Do you have any father memories? Things that you look back on, you'll just never forget. There are things I'll never forget about my dad. We used to go jogging. Of course, skiing, water skiing all the time. Working for him at the mobile home court. And in the summer, driving an hour back and forth each way to get to town, as we called it, from the lake. And we had a lot of time to talk. I remember his help with the old pickups that we'd fix up. There was always one in the garage, whether mine or one of my brothers. The Caprice wagon sat out in the driveway. There was always a truck inside the garage. But we got old motorcycles and worked on them. We did projects together. By the way, my dad always cut my hair. And all of us six boys. He was always the barber. And all this went on for years, and I'll never forget, though. When it came time, and I graduated high school, and it was late August in 1978, and it was time for me to walk up the hill from the house and get in my truck and head off to college, My dad took that walk with me. And we didn't say much. We were both kind of trying not to break up and start crying. And anyway, we hugged and said our goodbyes. And I drove down the road crying. And years later, when it came time to graduate, he was there. Him and Mom were there. Now, let me just say this. Dad wasn't perfect, and maybe I'm making him sound that way. No dad is. None of us are. We never will be. But he was real. And he brought joy and love, and there's peace as I relive even the thoughts of my childhood. He did his best. His dad left home when he was 9 years of age. You talk about something that was almost unheard of back then during those formidable years when really you need a dad. He didn't have one. He didn't have that dad to model in integrity before him. And yet he saw the value in it. I think it made him all the more determined. He redoubled his efforts to try and be a good example. And he was that. In fact, I think the greatest investment a man can make is in his children. No question about that. We let other things get in the way, don't we? There was a politician back in the 1800s by the name of Charles Adams. And he had this son by the name of Brooke. And they both kept diaries. And after they were both gone, they found both diaries. And the busy dad, Charles Adams, took his son Brooke fishing one day. And he wrote in his diary, "Took my son fishing today. Biggest waste of time I've ever had." They looked in his son's diary, Brooke's diary, and they found these words: "Dad took me fishing today. Greatest day of my life." What is the priority? What is the priority? Look in Proverbs 13. We are to model integrity before our children. In fact, in Proverbs 13, the first part of verse 22 says this: "A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children." You say, "I got to scramble to do that. I haven't put anything away for my kids yet, and much less my grandkids." I don't think it's talking about that so much. I think that good inheritance there is a godly one, a spiritual one. And David, who would be Solomon's dad, wrote this in Psalm 16:6. He said, "Yea, I have a goodly heritage." He had a godly, goodly inheritance that he had received from his dad, Jesse. The name David is found 969 times in the Bible. Imagine that. I mean, chapter after chapter, page after page, even books of the Bible are dedicated to David. How much do you read about Jesse? Just a handful of verses, really. But you know, there's something that money can't buy, and it's a godly heritage. Jesse gave that to David. Look in chapter 15 of Proverbs. I'm sorry, chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. I can't close without mentioning one other thing that men ought to be modeling, dads ought to be modeling before their children. And that is a healthy husband-wife relationship. A healthy husband-wife relationship. There was a Sunday school teacher who said to a little boy, "What's the nicest thing your dad ever did for you?" And the boy said, "He married my mom. He married my mom." That's good. Proverbs 5 and in verse number 15, it says, "Drink waters out of thine own cistern." Now get the point here, talking to the young man. "And running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the street. Let them be thine only, thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." What's Solomon saying? He's saying, stick with your wife. Stick with your wife. Let me just be real frank here. Don't go flirting with the old girlfriend on Facebook, guys. That is a Venus flytrap, I'm telling you. Stay off of that stuff. God help us. I think one of the most secure, one of the most reassuring things I had as a little boy is that Mom and Dad would always be together. I didn't have to wonder about that. Dad wasn't going anywhere. I knew that. Let your kids, Mom and Dad, catch you hugging each other and kissing each other. You say, "Oh," they'll say, "Yuck." Yeah, they love it, though. Put her in a good old lip lock and let them really yuck it up. But better your arms around Mom than a strange woman, as the Bible calls her. I am so thankful that my mom and dad were devoted to each other until the morning my mother graduated up to glory. I had that kind of assurance. Dads, there is a number of things you need to do. You need to provide protection. You need to provide boundaries. You need to provide emotional security. You need to enforce policy. You need to make your children feel they are important by giving them your time. You need to teach them to have a tender heart. You need to teach them a wise value system. And if you had a dad that taught you those things, you ought to be thankful. Dad, it's your turn now to impart them to your children. Let me just say this. If you are going to impart spiritual truths, they have to be ingrained in you first. You know, the Bible says train up a child in the way he should go. How do you do that? Well, you do that by going that way yourself first, right? And you can only go that way first if you know that way. Are you saved? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you been, as Jesus called it, born again, the Bible way? That's where it all starts. I am so thankful for my dad. I think he's still affecting me. He's definitely still affecting my children. He will be indirectly affecting my grandchildren. He's indirectly affecting the Fargo Baptist Church, whether you've thought that through or not. I said at the outset, the Proverbs mentions dads, I think, over 25 times, and it's always in a positive light. God help us to live the life, and God help us to practice the Proverbs for dads.
You've been listening to Pastor Tony Skeving of the Fargo Baptist Church in Fargo, North Dakota. If you would like a CD of today's message, you can obtain one by sending a gift of $2 to Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. That address again, Fargo Baptist Church, 3303 23rd Avenue South, Fargo, North Dakota, 58103. We hope you'll join Pastor Skeving next time right here on Pulpit Power. Pulpit Power is a production of Heaven 88.7.